From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Message is preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. It was far above the power of nature, and even contrary to its laws, that the aged Sarah should be honored with a son. And even so, it is beyond all ordinary rules that I, a poor, helpless, undone sinner, should find grace to bear about in my soul the indwelling Spirit of the Lord Jesus. I, who once despaired, as well I might, for my nature was as dry and withered and barren and accursed as a howling wilderness, even I have been made to bring forth fruit unto holiness. Well may my mouth be filled with joyous laughter, because of the singular, surprising grace which I have received of the Lord. For I have found Jesus, the promised seed, and He is mine forever. This day will I lift up psalms of triumph unto the Lord, who has remembered my low estate. For my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. I would have all those that hear of my great deliverance from hell, and my most blessed visitation from on high, laugh for joy with me. I would surprise my family with my abundant peace. I would delight my friends with my ever-increasing happiness. I would edify the church with my grateful confessions, and even impress the world with the cheerfulness of my daily conversation. Bunyan tells us that Mercy laughed in her sleep, and no wonder when she dreamed of Jesus. My joy shall not stop short of hers, while my Beloved is the theme of my daily thoughts. The Lord Jesus is a deep sea of joy. My soul shall dive therein, shall be swallowed up in the delights of His society. Sarah looked on her Isaac, and laughed with excess of rapture, and all her friends laughed with her. And thou, my soul, look on thy Jesus, and bid heaven and earth unite in thy joy unspeakable.
Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love, coming from the and reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain call us to rejoice in thee. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love, wondrous peace. When
Pastor A. W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 9. Today he begins a message entitled, The Faithfulness of God, taking verses 6 through 13 as his text. Although the Jews of Paul's day believed that their relationship to Abraham guaranteed their entrance into heaven, Paul states that God's covenant was to the children of the promise. God was faithful to the promise he made to Abraham that in his seed, that is, Christ, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Now Dr. Cairns commences a message called The Faithfulness of God.
We're returning this evening to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. We're going to read the first 13 verses of the chapter. Romans chapter 9, the first 13 verses of the chapter. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And in that solemn note of verse 13, we'll end the reading of the Word of God. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts. Tonight our study will be particularly from verse 6 to verse 13 of this 9th chapter of Romans. Anytime you're studying Scripture, context is important. And never more so than when you come to Romans 9, 10, and 11. Now, if we were reading a book of studies in Romans, I could simply get you to flip back a few pages and refresh your memory with the fairly lengthy connection that I drew between this and the prior part of the epistle last Lord's Day evening. The trouble is, this isn't a book. Some of you would think it was a fairly lengthy book if it were. Somebody has asked me, are you ever going to turn out a book of studies in Romans? And I have laughed. I have not yet seen the book that is big enough. And I don't know anybody willing to produce a whole library of books. But anyway, this is not a book. And I can't really repeat at any length the various things that we noted last Lord's Day concerning the vital connection between Romans 9, 10, and 11 and all that goes before. All I can do is as briefly as possible to summarize, because here context is vitally important. You must remember, never forget, that this section of Romans is not an afterthought. It's not a parenthesis. It's not a postscript. It's not an appendix. It's not a passage stuck in out of joint to deal with, quote, the problem of Israel. This is a passage that is an integral part of the whole argument of this epistle. It's designed to answer certain objections to Paul's doctrine of justification by faith alone for both Jews and Gentiles apart from the works of the law. And in particular, it sets out to answer objections based upon the Jewish claim, a true claim, to be the chosen people of God. On that basic fact that God chose the Jews, there were objectors to Paul's doctrine, and they were objecting that if the Jews are God's chosen people, then Paul's doctrine is altogether unscriptural and altogether wrong, because according to his doctrine, most Jews were lost because they were Christ rejectors. The people who made this objection really thought that they had utterly destroyed Paul's position, and they were able to hold it up to utter ridicule. According to them, they would say, in Paul's view of things, God's election is absolutely meaningless. He chose the Jews. But according to Paul, most of the Jews are not saved at all because they reject Christ. They would further argue that therefore Paul's doctrine would teach that God's actions are arbitrary, they are fickle, and ultimately they are utterly unjust. And then they would come with the big sting in the tail, that God's word therefore has no comfort to give anybody, even Christians. Even people who have received the Lord Jesus. There's no comfort in the Bible for those people. And the argument here would be that Paul based Christian security ultimately upon the eternal electing purpose of God. But the argument would go, if that election failed in the case of the Jews, and that election didn't guarantee Jewish salvation, what comfort is there for a Christian in saying, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Where is the security? Where is the assurance? Where is the comfort? And so this was the challenge to Paul's doctrine. You must understand. Now, I want you to grasp this. I was trying to emphasize something of the importance of this last Sabbath evening. I want you to grasp this clearly. The objection was not primarily to Paul's doctrine of election. The objection was to the gospel. The objection was to justification by free grace for Jews and Gentiles by faith alone, without any reference to Jewish ritual or Jewish law. The objection was to that. And Paul had to meet the challenge. And hence he wrote Romans 9, 10 and 11 to do so. Obviously, in doing this, he had to deal with such matters as eternal election. But again, I'm emphasizing, he did not deal with it as a philosophical subject. He did not deal with it even as a freestanding theological subject. Paul's main concern always was the gospel. And in this particular section of Romans, his concern is to defend God and his gospel. And in doing so, as I say, he does have to deal with such matters as God's eternal purpose. And as we go through this, you'll see some things that Paul doesn't do and some things that he does do. He does not sit in judgment on God. He does not take man's view of justice or goodness or righteousness or anything, hold that up, and then try to hold God to a man-made standard. He does not sit in judgment upon God. On the other hand, he does not deny the absolute sovereignty of God over every part of his creation and every person in his creation. He does not question or deny the absolute sovereignty of God. And remember how I define sovereignty in a very simple way. It is God's authority and ability to act as a king according to his own will, for no other reason than that he wills so to act. And that's our guarantee that what he does will always be worthy of himself. That's the sovereignty of God. But while he doesn't deny the absolute sovereignty, Paul does not do what many people do. He does not separate it from the gospel. He does not separate God's sovereignty from his central purpose of mercy in the gospel. And it's very easy when you're reading Romans chapter 9, and you'll have cause to understand this more fully, I trust, as we go through this chapter. It's very easy to get caught up with some of the things that, as I said last week, come as a shock to us. I mean, I finished reading at verse 13 tonight. And I know that that causes a shock. When God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. There's not a person here that can think straight that doesn't have to say that causes a shock to the system. But it's very easy to read this passage and simply focus on the things that are exceptional, unusual, unexpected, and forget that the central purpose of God that is here being revealed is actually a purpose of mercy. We'll have more to say about that in a little while. It's a purpose of mercy. And it's in that relationship that Paul deals with the sovereignty of God. That's why, of course, he commences Romans 9 with the first five verses of a personal statement. I would like to have time to go through that just line by line, for it's one of the most amazing passages in all the New Testament. This opens up the heart of the Apostle Paul in a way that I don't think you'll find anywhere else in the whole New Testament. Here you get Paul going to the very depths of his soul and bringing out to public view the constant burden and passion of his heart for the Jewish people. A burden that is expressed in terms that to us would seem so very extreme. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. The strength of that assertion has called forth many objections. Some people want to translate it that I used to wish. In other words, this is simply a statement of the way I was before I was converted. To be quite honest, that doesn't make a lot of sense of the rest of the statement. I think our translators have got it absolutely right. Paul is not saying I wish myself accursed from Christ. That couldn't be. He's not saying it's possible for me ever to be accursed from Christ. The surrounding verses make it clear that that couldn't be. But he's saying if it were possible, if it were legitimate, if it would save my people from hell, I would go to hell in their place. That's the passion. And I want you to see that for Paul, the purpose of grace and talking about election and predestination and all those things went hand in hand with a burning, blazing passion for souls. I would to God that everybody who ever wrote on God's eternal predestination wrote out of a heart that was filled with heaviness and sorrow and wrote with eyes that were blinded by tears with a passion for the dying souls of men and women. These two things in Paul's heart always go together. God's purpose of grace and Paul's passion for precious souls. His passion was a gospel passion. And the heart of that gospel was, the end of verse 5, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Let me give you a little hint. If ever you're looking at a so-called modern translation, and I say so-called because some are translations, some are perversions, some are paraphrases, but if you're ever looking at what purports to be a translation of the New Testament, this is one of the key verses to turn up. And you'll find that there are many that would turn this statement into a benediction. Christ came, period. May God, who is over all, be blessed forever. I'm not going to get into the technicalities of that. I think that Charles Hodge was absolutely right when he made the point that translationally that is improper, it is unallowable, and what we have before us is the only possible representation in English of the Greek text. This is one of the great statements concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came. Who is he? He is over all. Who is he? He is God, blessed forever. That is the very heart of the gospel.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.